Praise the Lord. Enjoyed all the special singing this morning. You have your Bible open to Psalm 23. And today we're going to begin, and I'm going to have to remove something here. So just bear with me. There you go. I don't mind sharing the pulpit, but not with that. All right. Do a little pest control. We have taught some time out of John chapter 10, and before we left John 10, we talked about our enemy a little bit. There is an enemy of the sheep, but I sure am glad that the sheep have a shepherd, our protector, our provider. I'm thankful for Jesus, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. And I told you some time ago that I wanted to go from John 10 and transition into Psalm 23. And so today we'll begin a series of messages out of the 23rd Psalm. And doing some reading, I ran across some things I'd like to share with you before I get too in-depth into the message this morning. This psalm is called the Pearl of all the Psalms. As many of you know, it's the most familiar by far. It's probably the most beloved and for sure the most quoted. Many people know this psalm by memory. It's a shame that this psalm is used at only funerals, because while I do believe it can be very comforting at the graveside, I also think it can be a great companion at a fireside when it's just you and God and maybe a cup of coffee, and you're just sitting by a fire, you're sitting somewhere in a room, a study, or just alone with the Lord, communing with the Lord out of the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm is like a journey. And it's a shepherd himself, David, reflecting on what it's like to be a sheep. And who better than to know what it is to be a sheep than the shepherd who cares for the sheep? There is a great work that I would recommend to your reading. Actually, Sharon took this past week and while we were away, and she read the book by Philip Keller, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. If you've never read that book, I would encourage you to do so. It's a very good book, and it has a lot of good information that will kind of help you see the care and the provision of the Lord for you and I as His children. I want us, as we approach this psalm, I'm going to approach a little differently this time than I have in previous times throughout the years of preaching through this psalm. You've heard a lot of preaching from the 23rd Psalm. I'm probably not going to tell you anything that you haven't heard, all right? Most of what I'm going to tell you is going to be a reminder to you. And if I do tell you something you haven't heard, well, then that's okay too. As long as you get something from our study, as long as you realize how wonderful it is to have a shepherd. When we started this series back in John 10, we coined it and we titled it, Why Every Sheep Need the Good Shepherd. And brethren, if you're here today and you're saved in the grace of God, I sure hope that you realize who your shepherd is. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And I tell you right now, from there, it goes into to what it's like to be a sheep of the good shepherd. There are 118 words, English words, in this psalm. 116 of them explain the first two. And we'll get into that just in just a little bit. The Lord. Notice, if you will, that the Lord is capitalized. That word there is Yahweh. It's all consonants. And I'm not going to get into the in-depthness of it this morning. But I want you to realize how sacred this word Yahweh is. Okay? Jehovah. That's where we get our English word. It's so sacred that when the scribes were penning this word, that they would bathe before they penned it, and then once they penned this word, they would throw the quill away. It was such a respected word. It was a word that they held in high regard. Now, a while back when we were going through the Ten Commandments and we talked about not using the Lord's name in vain, you may recall that I mentioned some things about how precious this name is. The Lord is. We're not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. Amen. We live in an age, we live in a society where the name of God is so misused. It is so trodden under the foot of man. It is so disregarded and disrespected. And I pray to God that you and I that are saved in the grace of God, who can say with the psalmist David, "The Lord is my shepherd," that we would not be guilty of using God's name in an inappropriate and disrespectful way. David, as he was writing this, without a doubt, was in the attitude of worship. There's no way you can read this psalm without just feeling, resonate from the heart of David, the worship that he is giving and that he is exclaiming toward the Lord. This morning, I want us to do this. I want us to think about this psalm as a book. I realize it's a small chapter. It's a song. But I want us to think of it as a book, and each verse is a chapter in this book. Now, many times when you're reading, if you're like me, you'll read the introduction and the table of contents, and then you'll turn to the back and see how it ends. Amen. You want to see how the book ends, especially if you get a little ways in and there's a little bit of mystery in it or a little bit of intrigue. You'll say, "Let me just see how this is going to turn out." Well, I want to do that this morning. Okay, there is a lot of good things in this book, in this chapter, in this psalm. But as we fast forward, I want to give you an overview this morning of the psalm. Now, there's many overviews that could be given, but this is the one that God directed me to. When you begin to read the psalm and you get down, you see how this thing's going to end. If you look in verse number 6, this was kind of the conclusion that the psalmist came to. The psalmist said this. He said, "Surely." Now, that's a word of affirmation. That's a word of exclamation. "Surely," he said. "Surely, goodness. After knowing some things that I know about my shepherd, surely goodness and mercy. After experiencing some things that I've experienced with my shepherd." This is David. And you look back at his life. Now, many people believe that David did not write this in the former part of his life, but in the final years of his life. And he experienced all the things that he had written about. The Spirit of God used his life experiences to pin down what a great privilege and honor it was to be able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." David, as a shepherd, knew the importance of the shepherd to the sheep. No doubt David had interaction with shepherds who did not care for their sheep, who allowed their sheep to free range and to run rampant in the fields, and they didn't take care of them. They didn't watch over them. They didn't walk with them, and they didn't protect them from the predators. They didn't feed them and provide for them. And David is reflecting on that as a shepherd himself, and he's reflecting on his life as the Lord is shepherd, as I hope you will do this morning. And he said, "My, how wonderful it is. The Lord is my shepherd." He's not just the shepherd, though he is the shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's not just a shepherd. He is my shepherd, amen. He's mine. He's mine. Yes, he's mine. I'm his. I belong to the greatest shepherd that there is. Brethren, can I tell you this morning, if you are saved in the grace of God, you're in the greatest possession that you could ever be in. You are God's. You belong to him. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he said, "I want to tell you how this thing's going to wind up." He said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I want to hone in for just a few moments on a few words, and we're going to talk about the secret of David. The secret of David. If you were to have asked David, if we could bring David in here and say, "David, what's the secret? You're a man after God's own heart. You're the shepherd king of Israel. You're the greatest king of the greatest nation that's ever been. What's the secret? What's the secret?" I believe he would say, "Just read the 23rd Psalm. I wrote a song about the secret." And here's what he said. And I want you to mark this, if you would, if you mark it in your Bible. If you don't, mark it in your mind. But if you're like me, you'd probably be better off marking it in your Bible. He said in verse number 6, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Look at this next phrase. All the days of my life. Now watch this. Here's what David is saying. I want to give you the secret to all the days of your life. I want to give you the secret to a happy life. And then he said in verse number 4, look at it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He said, I want to give you the secret of a happy death. I want to show you how to die well. I want to show you how to live life happy and die with no regret, no retreat, no remorse. I want to teach you the secret of a happy life. I want to teach you the secret of a happy death. And then look at verse number 6. He said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Look at that next word. Forever. I want to give you the secret of a happy eternity. And so, David, what's the secret? He said, I want to give you the secret of all that pertains to who we are and what we are. And he said, the secret is the Lord. He started it out that way. That's the secret. Now, we'll get back to that in just a moment. But let's look at this, just an overview. He said, I'm going to give you the secret to a happy life. Notice in verse number 6, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Did you know as a believer, you ought to claim that? You ought to claim that. David claimed it. He lived it. He said, goodness and mercy. You say, what do you mean, preacher? He said, goodness. The goodness are for the steps of my life. Amen. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And he said, the goodness is for the steps of my life, and the mercy is for the stumbles of my life. Either way, God's taking care of me. Amen. Can I tell you, God takes care of his children. God takes care of his sheep. Amen, sheep? Amen. Now, I listened to Pastor David Sunday night, and he was putting out the howl. And we found out yesterday that Brother John's got a howl that should have went out Sunday night. But this morning, we're not going to put out a howl. We're going to put out the sound of God's children. Bah! We're sheep, amen. We're sheep. My, we are blessed, brethren. David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. If he just stopped right there, that would be worth shouting about. But he went on and said, all the days of my life. There's never going to be a day if you're a child of God that you will be without goodness and mercy. Think about that, brethren. Think about that. Every day of your life, God is providing goodness and mercy. You say, well, preacher, what about in the bad times? Goodness and mercy. What about in the dark days? Goodness and mercy. What about in the bright days? Goodness and mercy. What about when I'm healthy? Goodness and mercy. What about when I've lost my health? Goodness and mercy. I'm here to tell you this morning that our shepherd provides goodness and mercy all the days of our life. Amen. Amen. Not only provides it, he said this, look at it. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall, you see that next word, follow. The word means pursue. God runs after you to give it to you. Amen. You say, surely not. Surely so. That's what David said. Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me. I'm doing no harm to the scripture. Look, the word follow up. That's what it means. God pursues us to bless us. You say, is that so? It's what the book says. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Now listen, I can't tell you what all the days of your life are going to be. I think as we read this psalm, we get a little bit of a clue. I think there's good days. I think there's days when we're laying beside the, or in the green pastures, and we're walking by the still waters, and we're walking as we're led into the paths of righteousness. What good days, amen? What good days? But I think there's some not so good days in the life of the sheep too. I believe there's times when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. There's danger all around us. There's enemies that the Lord is present there, and he's preparing a table in the presence of our enemies. But we don't have to be alone, because the psalmist said, but thou wert with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, all of these days, brethren, all the days of our life, some of you are younger, some of you are older. And it doesn't matter what your days may be numbered. You have a promise from the Word of God that all the days of your life, God is going to pursue you. If you're one of His sheep now, God is going to pursue you with goodness and mercy. Now, I just want to take just a moment before I move on here. And as I was studying this, as I was just kind of looking over this, God just convicted my heart, and I want to share it with you. I don't want to be an unthankful Christian. I don't want to be an unthankful sheep. I don't want to go through life and just take for granted God's goodness and mercy. And so I just want to take a few moments and say publicly, God, thank you for your goodness to me. You've been far better to me than I deserve. God, I don't deserve even the less of your blessings. You have blessed me far more than I ever imagined that I could be blessed in this life. As I stand before you this morning, you're looking at a man that God has changed everything about me, and it's all to His honor and glory. God has saved my soul. He's forgiven my sin. He has shown me goodness and mercy all the days of my life. And I have absolutely, absolutely no doubt that they will follow me right on until I exit this life and enter eternity. God's been good to me. Given me a good wife. Stuck by me 42 plus years in the ministry. God has given me good children, good in-laws, good grandchildren, a great church, good friends. Has God been good to you? Amen. And if we're not careful, we'll let the enemy try to steal that from us. Instead of being thankful for what we have, we'll begin to be complaining about what we don't have. I don't want to go before God this morning and ask Him for anything. I just want to go before Him and tell Him, God, thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. For all your blessings on my life. Surely goodness and mercy has followed me all the days of my life. I need to get a witness this morning. Amen. Are you listening to me? If we're not careful, the devil will shut our mouths. I believe that's what's wrong with our world today. As Christians, we shut our mouths instead of opening them wide and sending out like a trumpet and saying, hey, can I introduce you to the greatest one that's ever been involved in my life? I want to tell you about my shepherd, amen. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, you see. Listen, it's not some other Lord. It's not a Lord. It's the Lord. There's only one, brethren. There's none beside Him, this shepherd of ours. There's no equal to Him. Are you listening to me? He flung the stars into the heavens. That's my Lord, amen. He formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That God is my shepherd. Don't you, listen, don't you count on me worrying at night. I'm not losing any sleep. Listen, there's an enemy, but I have a shepherd to help fend off that enemy. Amen. Oh, preacher, I'm afraid of the enemy. Listen, you ought to respect who the enemy is. Amen. Even Jude said, the Lord rebuked thee. Amen. But don't you be afraid. Don't you let him strike fear in your heart. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Yeah. Amen. Amen. But the spirit, listen, of power. Love and a sound mind. I'm thankful for God's goodness. God's been good to me. And I expect nothing different moving forward. You say, now, preacher, before you go to bed tonight, something tragic could happen in your life. Can I tell you, God's been good to me in the tragedies of life? He has. I look back over my life, and I see, and I printed this out because I wanted to read it. You know it. This is our testimony right here, Christian. Here it is. What have you gone through in life that troubled your heart, that brought tears to your eyes, that squeezed your heart, that maybe caused you to doubt? I don't know. There was a man many years ago who wrote a poem called Footprints. You're familiar with that poem. And I was reacquainted with it this past week as I was thinking about all the days of my life. When I'm up, he's there. When I'm down, he's there. When it's good, he's there. When it's not so good, he's there. When things are going well, he's there. When things are not, He's there. When it's for me, He's there. When it's against me, He's there. One night a man had a dream. He was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from his life. In its scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One made by him and the other by the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the worst times of his life. This bothered him very much. So he asked, "Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the times of trouble, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why you left me when I needed you most." Now, sometimes the enemy will tell you that that's what God will do. He'll forsake you. Can I tell you, the Word of God says He will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
Never. You say, "Preacher, what's that word never mean?" Well, in the Greek it means never. In the English it means never. It actually means in the Greek a double negative. No, never. So, well, that's not good English. Well, we're not talking about English, we're talking about Greek. No, never. He will never. No, never. "Lord, when I look back, there was only one set of footprints, and I don't understand. You said you was going to be with me all the way." The Lord answered, "My precious child, I love you and will never leave you. During your times of trial, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was because I was carrying you." The Lord ever bore you up and carried you through? He has me. Has He you? And can I tell you that I don't know what you're facing, but if you can say with the psalmist David, "The Lord is my shepherd, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life." You say, "Preacher, can you promise that?" You know I can, because it's in this book right here.
Amen.
And this book has no mistakes, brethren.
Amen.
There's no error in this book.
Right.
It's perfect.
Right.
I'm not, but my shepherd is.
Amen.
Happy life. Are you experiencing the happy life? You say, "No, preacher, I'm not so happy." Well, listen. Listen. The secret to the happy life doesn't mean that you are happy all your life. Right? There's sad times. There's bad times. That's right. But it does mean that your shepherd is there in every occasion, and that there's goodness and mercy available to draw from all the days of your life. A happy life. Number two, a happy death. A happy death. Watch this. He said in verse number 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And here it is, "for thou art with me." You know, something happens in verse number 4. Did you notice? In verses 2 and 3 is "he and me." He and me. Look at verse 2. "He maketh me. He leadeth me. He restoreth my. He leadeth me." It's "he and me." You see, that's a relationship. We'll talk about that a little bit further into the song. But then in verse number 4, it goes from the third person to the first person. It's no longer "he and me." Now he's not talking about God. He's talking to God. He's not talking about his shepherd. By the way, we need to start talking about our shepherd. That's right. He's talking to the shepherd. Look, if you would, in verse 4. "Yea, though I," not me, "though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou," not you, "thou," he's speaking to him, "for thou art with me. Thy rod, and thy staff, they comfort me." David said, "Listen, I have absolutely no fear." No fear. Read it again. He said, "I will fear no evil." No fear. Now, the world has their slogan, "no fear," but I'm going to tell you right now, they're behind. David wrote this hundreds of years before somebody come up with something you stick on your bumper. Amen. No fear. No fear. Do you know most people live their life fearing death? And the older you get, the more the enemy will try to make you fear. How am I going to die? When am I going to die? Where am I going to die? I don't know the answer to any of those questions in your life or mine. I just know I'm going to die. If Jesus doesn't come, I'm going to die. But that doesn't, shake me up. You say, oh, preacher, that's easy to say when you're standing up there full of hell. Listen, God could take me out of here before I finish this message today. And before you get too happy about that, he could take you out before I finish it too. Amen. Death. Death. For the Christian, that's just a way to usher us into the presence of God. He said, I'm not going to fear death. I'm going to tell you how to die happy. It's in a relationship. Thou art with me. Is the good shepherd with you? Are you his sheep? Do you belong to him? Many of you know who John Wesley is. I started to say was, but he's more alive today than he's ever been. He's just in a different sphere. He's in a different world. Someone went to John Wesley and they said, you know, your people, now they John and Charles and George Whitfield, they started the Methodist movement. And though we don't agree with them on every, listen, with the Methodists on every jot and tittle, listen, these men were men of God. And they loved God now. And you have to be careful about criticizing people and movements that you know nothing about that you've heard other people criticize. Read about it. These people feared God. They loved the Lord. So, well, they're not our stripe. Well, okay. I agree with you there. But listen, though we may not have been in the same division, we're on the same team. They were serving God with their life. And some scoffer met John Wesley and he said, hey! He said, your people are kind of different. They live strange. And without thinking twice, John Wesley eyed him up and he said, yeah, but my people die well. And a whole lot you can do with that, brother. A lot of people want to live well. But how many people know how to die well? And David said, I want to give you the secret to a happy life. And he said, I want to give you a secret to a happy death. Belong to him. You want to die right? Live right. Is that right? Yeah. Be under the care of the shepherd. When you leave this world, I'm not going to get into this too deep. I can remember, I got in right on the backside of it. Now, some of you old-timers can help me out here. You'll know what I'm talking about. Some of the new ones, unfortunately, you may know very little about this, and it's a shame. We begin drugging people up now when they're dying. I understand pain management, so don't leave here saying, well, that preacher's cold and callous. All right? I understand pain management. But there was a day when folks got deathly ill that they didn't drug them up. And those old saints of God left out of here shouting the victory. They were talking to people in another world. Are you listening to me? It's real. I seen my grandma talk to people in another realm. You say, oh, preacher, you're talking about visions and dreams. You call it what you want to. It was reality. I watched it happen. You can read about those old saints of God that were getting ready to pull out of this world, and they saw those on the other side. They were speaking to them as you would speak to somebody sitting across the room from you. But now we dope them up. And I understand, so don't leave here saying the preacher's insensitive. I want to be very careful of how I handle this because I understand sometimes some things are needed. But I really wonder how much of some things are needed. Are we trying to kill out a voice? Are we trying to kill out something that needs to be alive? Where people get ready to pull out and they realize that the angels of God are encamped about them. They realize that they're just as much in that world as they are in this one. Because they have made preparation. They're ready to die well. My question to you this morning is, are you ready to die well? You say, oh, preacher, I'm ready to die. Are you ready to die well? Are you ready to pull out of here? Knowing that you have committed everything to Christ. And I'm not ashamed, Paul said. For I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Can you say it, brother? Can you say it, sister? Do you know that you know that you know whom you have believed? It's real. It's real. And we tried to kill out the voice, and we tried to just snuff out that testimony. But David said, I want you to know that when you're passing through that time, it's just like a shadow. And the shadow of nothing has ever hurt anyone. Now, I'm not afraid of dogs. Some people are. I'm not. You say, well, you'll probably get bit next week. Then I'll probably come back next week and say, I want to change that statement. I am afraid of dogs. But some people are terrified of dogs. I've been out soul winning before, and I mean a dog this high come running around. And the folks that I soul win, we better not go in there. Man, we could punt that guy across the front yard. Some people are scared to death of dogs. But can I tell you, the shadow of a vicious dog has never hurt anyone. The shadow of death, if you die right, the secret of dying right is belonging to the shepherd. Amen. Look in verse number 6. He said, the secret to a happy life all the days of your life is belonging to the shepherd. And goodness and mercy will pursue you all the days of your life. God has you in his thoughts. He has you on his heart. He has provision for you, protection for you. His presence is with you. Brethren, we are blessed.
Amen.
We are blessed. The secret to a happy death. You don't have to fear it. Just know who you belong to. Know where you're headed. Death is just a vehicle to transfer us out of this life into the next. Amen, Christian? Come on, Christians. Hey, are you afraid of death? There's a reason we quit talking about it and we get uncomfortable with it is because we're so unfamiliar with it. When the Word of God says that so much about this, we ought to be so familiar with it that it doesn't make us uncomfortable. That we're ready to help people that are uncomfortable with this and help them in this transition to know, listen, no, it may not be something that you're longing for, but it doesn't have to be anything that you're afraid of. And you may as well prepare for it because, as it is written, it is appointed unto all men to die. That's right. That's right. It's appointed unto all men to die, but after this, the judgment. So there is an afterlife. After this, that's wrong. That's Hebrews 9:27. Now let's move on. All right? A happy eternity. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know something about sheep is they just keep moving. They go from pasture to pasture, from rangeland to rangeland. They go from waterhole to waterhole. The shepherd keeps the sheep moving. One day, brethren, we're making our last move. Are you listening? I believe that's what David had in mind. He was a shepherd. And I think he said, one day we're going to have a permanent dwelling. We really don't have a permanent dwelling here. There's no guarantees. You say, well, I plan on living where I'm at until I head out of here. And that may be so. But this is a life of transition, isn't it? Isn't it, brethren? It's a life of transition. Some will move out of the state. We have some folks here this morning that moved to here, moved back. Some will move across the state. Some will move across the street. So just we're transitional sheep. But one day, going home permanently. Praise the Lord. Our journey will be complete. And David said, I will dwell. That's a fixture. Permanently is the understood word there. I will dwell permanently in the house of the Lord forever. Forever with the Lord. That's how you have a happy eternity. Someone wrote it this way. In life, the 23rd Psalm says, every need supplied. In death, the 23rd Psalm says, every fear removed. In eternity, the 23rd Psalm says, every desire fulfilled. What's the secret, David? The Lord. The Lord. Do you know Him? Do you have a relationship with Him? I pray that you do. I pray that you know the Lord. Jehovah. You can close your Bible and look right up here at the preachers. I close this. Thank you for your attention this morning. I want to tell you something about the Lord that I hope you'll chew on a little bit this week. God is known by scores and scores of names in the Bible. I started to write down 50 of them and just read them off to you. Score. There's Jehovah titles. There's Elohim. There's El Elyon. There's El Shaddai. There's Adonai. I mean, you could scores. Pastor BJ in his Sunday school class, just through the first, I think it was 17 chapters, gave us, what was it, Pastor BJ? 15, 16, I think. Yeah, I mean, just God through the Scripture is called by scores and scores of names. This name is different. And I'm going to tell you why. It's God's personal name. Now, think about this with me. I, to some of you, am preacher. That's not my name. I'm pastor, but that's not my name. I'm dad. My, what a great term. But that's not my name. I'm papa to my grandchildren. I love to hear that. But that's not my name. That's kind of a description or a declaration about who I am or what I am. To my wife, I'm honey. Handsome. Both are so. I mean, they're interchangeable. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that all of these names of God are like that. We all use them. But the name that I have is Dale. The name that you have, you fill in the blank. When Moses in Exodus chapter 3 went to God and he said, God, he said, I'm going, but I know when I get there, they're going to ask me who sent me. And he said, this is my name. Now you read it, Exodus 3 verse 13 to 14. He said, here's my name right here. I want it to be personal. This name right here is the personal name of God. And it's the personal name of God that he wants to be known by because it is a covenant-keeping name. It's a name that God wants every one of his sheep to be familiar with because he wants you to understand, when I say surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, I mean it. That's unchanging. I'm unchangeable. I'm immutable. I change not. Everything I say is going to come to pass. So you call me by this name, so you'll never forget that. Don't you ever forget that I don't change. So that when you get in the hard time, when you get in the crucibles of life, when you get down, when things flee and people turn away from you, I will never turn away from you. So don't you ever forget my name. You tell them that I am sent you. Did you know if you try to use that name, it'd be incomplete? If I got up to you this evening and said, hey, good to have you back, I am, you'd wait for the rest. You are what? But not with God. Not with God. He said, I am. What a shepherd. And that's why David used that. Because he wanted you to know that as I am was to David then, it's just as present and just as real. I am to Dale today. I am to you today. Same I am. Same personal God who will get personal with you. Let's stand, please. Oh, I hope that God used something I said to help you today. I prayed and I said, God, somehow, would you take what you put in my heart and help me to get it to your people? I want your people to praise your name. I want us to magnify the name of the Lord. I want you as a sheep to understand who your shepherd is. So that when you read, "The Lord is my shepherd," it'll just humble you. It'll just flood your heart with thanksgiving. It'll just make you feel like you're so privileged to be a sheep of the great shepherd. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this wonderful psalm. And as we get into it, I pray that we would glean from its truth and we would not just learn and know some things or be reminded of things, but God, help us to embrace and to experience the truth that is in this psalm. I pray that the name of Jesus would be exalted. And God, I want to thank you again. I thank you, Lord. I praise you for accepting me into the fold, for pursuing me, seeking me, and saving my soul, and placing me into the greatest family there ever has been, the family of God. Thank you for being my shepherd. And help me never to forget all the wonderful benefits that come from being a sheep of the Lord my shepherd. Guide us in this few moments as we close our service. Work in our hearts. What needs to be done that would most honor your name. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed.